Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The great thing about the Bible is that it is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. The other great thing about the Bible is that it's not a bunch of stories put together. It's real history. These are real things that happened to real people. Real people like Peter, the Apostle Peter, who wrote our epistle lesson today. The book of 2 Peter we have is the final writings we have of the great Apostle Peter. Peter is near the end of his amazing and remarkable life, and it's been about 30 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. And the Lord Jesus has made it clear to Peter that soon he would be casting off his mortal body and joining him in the glory of heaven. So, in this last letter, what does Peter talk about? Well, Peter's life and ministry were full of some amazing high points, some difficult low points, but Peter reminds us in this text about the main point. I want to share with you today are some high points, some low points of Peter's life, but the main point that he wants to tell us before he goes home to heaven. So let's start with the high points. Number one, a high point of Peter's life was the mountain. Peter tells the readers of this letter, you and I, that he and the other apostles did not come up with clever stories about Jesus. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And Peter saw some amazing things. Peter saw Jesus heal people. Peter saw Jesus walk on water. Peter saw Jesus multiply food and feed 5,000 people. Peter saw Jesus literally raise people from the dead. There were a lot of high points in Peter's time with Jesus, but one of the highest of the high points took place on a mountain. Matthew 17 tells us, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. It must have been an incredible experience for Peter, since he's recalling it 30 years later, like he was still standing on that mountain today with Jesus and James and John and Moses and Elijah. Peter has seen something only two other living people have seen, Jesus displaying a glimpse of his glory. I don't think this was the full glory of Jesus. I think that would have killed the three apostles, but Jesus does show them a glimpse of his glory. He starts to shine as bright as the sun, which, of course, is the brightest thing in our experience. It's the brightest thing in our whole solar system. By the way, we interrupt this sermon for a brief health tip. Don't ever look at the sun. It's too bright for your eyes to handle and will do damage to your eyesight. Don't do that. But imagine being with Jesus and seeing him as he begins to shine bright like the sun. Seeing a glimpse of his glory, the incredible divine power of the Son of God himself. Peter saw this with his own eyes and he never forgot it. He is an eyewitness of the majesty. And 30 years later, he would still be talking and writing about it. But Peter wasn't just an eyewitness of Jesus. He was also an ear witness of Jesus. Peter heard the voice of Jesus and his teaching. Peter heard the voice of Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Peter heard the voice of Jesus blessing the little children. Peter heard the voice of Jesus command the storm to be still, and it obeyed him. Peter heard the voice of Jesus announcing to sinners that they were forgiven. And on that holy mountain, Peter not only heard the voice of Jesus, but the voice of God the Father speaking as well. When Peter saw the glory of Jesus, he started talking, because that's what Peter does, even though he didn't realize everything he was saying, because that's what Peter does. He started talking about building three tents, three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and they could just stay on that mountain. But while he was talking, he was interrupted by the Father. Peter remembers that moment clearly in 2 Peter 1. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. 2 Peter 1, 17 and 18. Peter heard the very voice of God booming from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Peter never forgot the sight of Jesus in his glory. And I'm sure he never forgot the voice of the Father shaking the very foundations of that mountain. Peter is both an eyewitness of the Transfiguration and an ear witness to it as well. And it was one of the great high points of his life. Now, Peter had low points as well. Peter's life, like all of our lives, wasn't just full of high points. For him, it wasn't always mountaintops and miracles. There were many low points, many difficulties, many dark valleys Peter had to walk through. And perhaps the lowest of the low points happened in a courtyard. The courtyard of the high priest on the night when Jesus was betrayed. And Jesus found himself on trial. Just as Jesus prophesied, Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three different times, each one more loudly than the last. At the moment when everything was on the line, Peter let his best friend down. He even swore, "I do not know the man." This is after all Jesus had done for Peter. Remember all that Jesus and Peter had shared, all the ways Jesus loved Peter, encouraged Peter. Jesus healed Peter's family members. Jesus had even given Peter his nickname. No longer would he be just Simon the fisherman, but he would be Peter, the rock. Peter, at the Lord's command, even walked on water with Jesus. After all that, when this most important moment happens, Peter lets Jesus down. He pretends not to know him. Three times he denies him. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Luke 22:61-62. We can all relate to Peter, can't we? We've all let Jesus down. We've all denied him in our own way. Sometimes in our words, not speaking up when we should. Sometimes it's in our thoughts by what we choose to dwell on and believe about Jesus. Sometimes it's in our actions by the selfish actions we take, or like Peter, the things we don't do. We know the right thing to do or to say, and we choose not to do it. When the Lord looks at Peter, Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. You know what happens next. Jesus goes through the mockery of a trial. He is beaten, whipped, and tortured. And then he is crucified on a cross. Now, Peter at this time probably thinks, well, that's it. It's all over. There is no hope left. I will never have the chance to hear Jesus again. I will never get to see him alive again. But in the most amazing turn of events in history, the lowest of the lows are suddenly changed into the highest of highs. Changed, by the way, doesn't seem strong enough. The lowest of the lows are suddenly transformed. Can I say transfigured into the highest of highs? On Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other women say to Peter and John, "The stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and the angels have told them the greatest good news of all time. He is not here, he is risen." Peter and John don't walk to the tomb, they run to the tomb. They have to see for themselves, and they see for themselves, he is not here. Later, Jesus would appear to Peter and John and all the disciples, telling them, "Peace be with you," there in the upper room. And then later after that, he would appear to them at the Sea of Galilee. And there, in one of the greatest moments of Peter's life, Jesus forgives Peter and restores Peter. John 21:15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus says this to Peter not once, not twice, but three times. Through the power of his words, Jesus forgives and restores Peter. In the words of Christ, Peter finds the grace and forgiveness he needs. I can't even begin to imagine the peace and the joy that Peter experienced when he received the forgiveness of Jesus freely and fully. But that same grace is available to us, just as it was available to Peter. It's available to us in the words and promises of Christ found in Holy Scripture. Through word and sacrament, Jesus continues to give us the grace and forgiveness we need. Make no mistake, Jesus loves sinners. Jesus forgives sinners. Sinners like Peter and sinners like you and me. Peter had an amazing and remarkable life, didn't he? It's full of so many high points, like the Transfiguration, which he recounts here. Full of low points, like denying Jesus three times. But As he gets to the end of his life, he wants to share with us the main point. The Lord has made it clear that he will be leaving the body and coming home soon. Peter would die for his faith, but he would receive an eternal inheritance from the Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Peter prepares to leave and go to heaven. But as he does so, he writes one final letter to his beloved brothers and sisters in the church. He wants to tell them to remember the main point. Listen to Jesus. That was the message Peter learned on the Mount of Transfiguration, taught to him by God the Father himself. Matthew 17:4-5. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter loved to talk. But the Father reminds him that the most important thing that Peter can do is not talk, but listen. Listen to his Son, Jesus. You know, the fact is, in life, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And Peter reminds us that the main thing, the main point of life, is to listen to Jesus. He now reminds us what he learned on that holy mountain. We need to listen to Jesus. How do we listen to Jesus? Through this book. Through the words of the Bible. Because the Bible is not the words of men. The Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God. And Peter assures us of that in his final letter. 2 Peter 1:20-21. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is God's word. Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And in this book, we have the word of the prophets made more certain. In this book, we have the words of Jesus himself. And in this book, Jesus speaks to us, giving us his grace, giving us his forgiveness, and giving us the free gift of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.